Hey, everybody, this episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN, expressvpn.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Hey, everybody, Juneteenth should not be a federal holiday. Explain why. In this comprehensive episode, we go through the history of Juneteenth. We go through the history of July 4th. Why do we consider July 4th to be our founding? Who first said that? Should we have a competitor to July 4th? By the end of the episode, I hope to convince you. Maybe not, but maybe I'll expand your horizons to think about something differently because not enough people are making this argument. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com, and your feedback, your concerns, or hopefully your praise, but we'll see, or your questions about this. This is a topic that many people are afraid to approach, but not on this program. It's made possible by all of you at charliekirk.com/support. I want to thank John from Rhode Island for supporting our program. I want to thank Susie from Mississippi for supporting our program at charliekirk.com/support. And I want to thank Cynthia from Massachusetts for your very generous support, and also Reynold from Indiana at charliekirk.com/support. You help make our mission to reach millions of young people all across the country possible and tell the truth. Even when you might not always agree with everything we're saying, you know that the canon of this program is to try to make America a better place and bring forward this idea of God-granted natural rights back to America. Again, email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. Share this episode with your friends. And if you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
It's back to school time, and you may be feeling the burden of college bills or private school tuition expenses. With home equity at an all-time high and interest rates low, refinancing your house could be a great way to get some cash and pay those bills. Look, if you got to take out a loan, maybe you want to buy a home or refinance, throw out the big banks. They have paperwork up to the moon. They're insincere. They wear masks when they shower. They donate to BLM Incorporated. They're boring. They're backwards. They deplatform conservatives. Do not take out loans with big banks anymore. I'm telling you, they're going to cancel us. It's just a matter of time. So instead, go to someone who loves their country. These guys are Christians. I know these people. It's a super easy to use process. Andrew and Todd. Andrew Del Rey and Todd Avakian at andrewandtodd.com. The company's called Sierra Pacific Mortgage. So here's how it works. You call them up and you say, I hate taking out loans. I want to make it easy. Look, they're part counselors. They're part friends, bankers, whatever. Producer Andrew for us is using them and they're terrific. I know these guys, okay? I look at them in the eyes. They're ethical. They're fun. They love the Lord. And they're not like these wokesters that are taking your money. Literally, if you go to like one of the big banks, not to say any names, but one that rhymes with Mace, not going to say any names, and you take out a big loan, you might as well contribute to BLM Incorporated. Do you want to do that? Every time you take out a loan with a big bank, you are contributing to the downfall of America. So don't do that. Go to andrewandtodd.com. That's andrewandtodd.com. 888-888-1172. 888-888-1172. Go to andrewandtodd.com. Look, when we pick partners for our show, I want to meet these people. And I met Andrew and Todd. They are phenomenal. They love their nation. They love the Lord. If you have to borrow money or just refinance, just give them a call. Say Charlie Kirk sent you. You'll actually talk to a human being, not some muffled mask BLM Incorporated wokester that works for a big bank. That's andrewandtodd.com, 888-888-1172. Is it a big deal when someone goes into a Walgreens and steals, I don't know, some toothpaste? Should that be criminalized? Are minor offenses something that we should consider a concern? Well, those of us that know the way society works, we know that small crimes are big crimes. We know that graffiti on a window will soon lead to things that are even greater than that. But just talking about the crime in and of itself, raiding and looting a store. This is happening now at a rapid pace across the country. Petty theft has now been decriminalized in San Francisco. Anything under $950 is not going to be prosecuted. This happens in Walgreens yesterday, and 17 stores have closed so far due to shoplifting. And so here's a very simple question. What is going to prevent these entire stores from being stolen up to $900 every single day if they're not going to be prosecuted? And the answer is nothing. It kind of goes back to this idea that is in Aldous Huxley's Brave New World. Everybody belongs to everybody. Who's to say that when you do not have private property, can you be free? And of course you can. Mayor Rudy Giuliani cleaned up New York because the small crimes were the big crimes. The small things were the big things. But I have just as much disgust for someone that goes into a Walgreens with a massive shopping bag or a garbage bag and fills up with a bunch of deodorant and toothpaste as someone that goes into a bank. You are morally equivalent in my eyes. So let's play a clip here of what's happening. You could see it yourself. Cut 73, a shoplifter in San Francisco loaded up a bag on a bike and just rode out of the store. As the security guard, they just watch and they record it on their phone. This person will never be held accountable. But I guess for whatever criminal network he's going to, they're going to have a lot of shampoo. Play tape. There he is. Security guard just watching it. Filling it up. You see, if I saw that guy, I would just totally... I wouldn't put up with that. That's it. Total and complete anarchy. Shopping bag full of stuff. See you later. Welcome to San Francisco. And some people say, well, what's possibly wrong with this? Well, private property in every regard deserves to be protected. And yeah, Walgreens, the big corporation, of course, they can take the hit and they've gone super woke, so I don't really care. But all of a sudden, all the small stores are getting hit and they're closing down. And they can't afford to continue to restock their inventory with no such payment in return. In Chicago, police are no longer chasing criminals on foot. Chicago has an increase in crime that they have not seen over the last decade. We have gone through the Chicago crime statistics, and they are horrifying. Now, some people say the looting of these stores is reparations. Looting is reparations. And by the way, many of your children are learning this in college and in high school. Just this week in Chicago, 12 people have been shot and killed, 60 people shot and wounded, 72 total shot, and 12 total homicides. And of course, the very people that are implementing these rules and these laws in San Francisco, they don't actually want to live under them. And in the Chicago Tribune, published this. Reparations are not about economic stability, not a looted pair of $120 Nikes. That when you loot and you steal, it's really about giving black people what they want and what they deserve. Because someone they were related to 100 years ago was a slave. No, not even 100 years ago. 150 years ago. Therefore, they deserve new Nikes. Not about making good choices. Remember, this is the true struggle that's happening in the country. And because we have decided to just send a lot of kids to government-run schools, we have lost the moral argument, which is, what is a human being? What are you doing here? Do you want to create better character? Or do you want to tear down the entire country around you? Is it the country that's the problem, or are you the problem? And so petty crime is now becoming big crime. Rapes are up, murders are up, kidnappings up, arsons up. And there is flight out of San Francisco. Russell Kirk famously said that order signifies harmony. There are two aspects or types of order, the inner order of the soul and the outer order of the commonwealth. Plato talked this in his Plato's Republic. But the educated, the philosopher kings nowadays, to use a Plato word, find it very difficult to grasp this and understand. If you do not have an ordered soul and an ordered commonwealth, then yes, you have chaos, disorder, and then you get an autocrat and a tyrant. And that's the real agenda here. They want Gotham to burn, so then Bane or the Joker can take over. Once there's fire, people want a firefighter. And that is the playbook of the left. Charlie Kirk here, and I've warned you about home title theft, where cyber thieves remove you from your home's title and you become the owner. I said you better get home title locked because it's coming. Well, if you're on Facebook, that big breach is here. Facebook had 500 million accounts exposed to cyber thieves. And according to a retired FBI cybercrime expert, everything thieves need to take over is the new owner of your home was leaked. Name, address, personal information, it's out there. The thief forges your signature on a quitclaim deed stating you sold your home to him. He'll leave you in debt or he'll even have you evicted. Do what I did and protect your home's title with Home Title Lock. Go to HomeTitleLock.com and register your address to see if you're already a victim. Then sign up for 30 free days of protection during this high-risk breach. Then sign up for 30 free days of protection. Again, HomeTitleLock.com, promo code radio. That's HomeTitleLock.com, promo code radio. You might not have noticed this, but the United States Congress has finally found something they can agree on. United States Congress, of course, can't agree on whether or not the Constitution is a document worthy of honoring. They can't agree on whether or not they should curb inflation. They can't address the crisis on the southern border. They can't try to bring back manufacturing jobs to our country. But the one thing that Congress has decided to agree on, and every single senator voted in favor of this, was to create a new federal holiday. 14 members of the House of Representatives deserve credit for voting against this, and that is to create a new federal holiday called Juneteenth. Now, you might not have heard this before. Juneteenth, according in its most generous reading, and I'm going to tell you what this is really all about, is about on June 19th, allegedly, this is the way the story goes, June 19th, 1865, soldiers landed in Galveston, Texas, with the news that the Civil War had ended and that the enslaved were now free. And this, according to BLM Incorporated and many of their alleged historians, like this guy or woman, I don't know, Peniel E. Joseph, who wrote The Sword and the Shield, The Revolutionary Lives of Malcolm X and Martin Luther King Jr., and is the director of the Center for the Study of Race and Democracy at the LBJ School of Public Policy. He says, having Juneteenth as a national holiday offers possibilities Americans can't ignore. And so they want to create a new July 4th, and they've done it. The House and the Senate have passed this with almost no opposition, and Joe Biden is now going to create a new Black Independence Day. That's right, circled on your calendars from now for the rest of your life. There will be a new Independence Day before July 4th. And it's not going to have the American flag, no. You see, if you look at the symbols behind Juneteenth, it is the African flag, something that's called the Pan-African flag. You might not have heard this before because you grew up in America where the American flag actually mattered. But now, in the new world, after George Floyd or BLM Incorporated or whatever, we now have to say, we're going to preempt this. On Juneteenth, we are now going to have a Pan-African Black Independence Day. And in Congress, in front of the picture of George Washington, we have members of Congress that are not singing the U.S. National Anthem. They're not saying, God bless America. No, they're singing the Black National Anthem. You haven't heard about this? We have a Black National Anthem now. Play tape. That is now the new Black National Anthem. You better learn it or else you're a racist. Forget Francis Scott Key, America the Beautiful. No, no, no. We must now go sing whatever that is. So here's a really interesting question. When did Abraham Lincoln think America was founded? Why do we celebrate July 4th? What's the significance of that? Well, for those of us that grew up in the 90s, it's just always been the holiday where we say this was America's founding. But was it? Why do we say that that was America's founding? What's the reason for that? There's so many other dates, by the way, we could choose. Why was America not founded on September 17th, 1787? Which was, of course, the ratification of the United States Constitution, the end of the Constitutional Convention that ended a bitter summer of fights where the Republic could have broke apart. Why was America not founded in December of 1791 when the Bill of Rights was officially ratified, pushed by George Mason and all the other member states? Why? July 4th, 1776. What happened on that day? Well, first, it's actually more important to realize what happened in that year. You see, Abraham Lincoln was actually the first American president that made a point of this. Other American presidents like Quincy Adams, Monroe, and Madison, they mentioned it, but there was an attachment for Madison for the Constitution. Obviously, he was the father of the Constitution. Lincoln was the first generation not to actually be directly connected to that founding generation. Think of it as almost the greatest generation and their grandkids. Abraham Lincoln was truly that next generation. After Washington, Adams, Jefferson, Madison, Monroe, Quincy Adams, Jackson. So Abraham Lincoln, at one of the most famous speeches ever given, he decided to say something that wasn't actually very obvious. And you've probably heard it said 50 times in your school. 47 years ago. Hold on a second. Do you notice that he mentions a year, not a date? He was actually talking about the totality of the year 1776. Not necessarily just July 4th. This is a very important point. What else happened that year? Well, Common Sense by Thomas Paine was written that year. Pretty important. Of course, the Declaration of Independence was signed and written by Thomas Jefferson. Wealth of Nations was written by Adam Smith. Also, George Mason's Virginia Bill of Rights was passed in 1776. Vermont also abolished slavery soon after that. That was a big year. That's what Abraham Lincoln was getting at. And if you read deeper into the 272 words of the Gettysburg Address, he says, 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Let's stop there. You know what Abraham Lincoln was doing? He was creating a thread. Abraham Lincoln was making an overarching historical, moral, and philosophical argument that what came before us was something that we should actually try to attain. What Abraham Lincoln was saying was, hey, that year in 1776, most specifically July 4th, the day that it all culminated on, that's not a day that we should gloss over. Let's also talk about the context. What was Abraham Lincoln looking at when he gave this speech? What was Abraham Lincoln doing when this speech was given? He was looking at brutal carnage. That's what. This was a speech that he thought would be in the dustbin of history. In fact, Abraham Lincoln was given the shortest amount of time to speak out of all the speakers in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. He thought no one would want to hear from them. Little did he know these 272 words would change the trajectory of human history. And he ends here in the speech of the 272 words. That we were here highly resolved that the dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that the government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from the earth. What Abraham Lincoln was saying was that in this declaration, it talked about divine truth. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with one another and to assume among the powers of the earth in the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God. That's what Abraham Lincoln was going for. He said, that's what we have to aim at. That's the nation our founders gave us. That's the nation that the generation before us gave us. Entitle them a decent and respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. Do you notice what's not mentioned in that paragraph? Skin color. Do you mention what's not mentioned in the Gettysburg Address? Skin color. The ideal was that we're going to care about character, spirit, your spirit and your soul, not how you look. So what Juneteenth is all about that every Republican decided to vote for in the Senate, it's a direct affront to the righteous and moral idea that we were founded on July 4th, 1776. We are now going to have competing Independence Days for the rest of your life. That's right. You are now going to have a pan-African Juneteenth, quote, Freedom Day. And by the way, I'm all for celebrating the liberation of slaves. But why don't we do it correctly? Why don't we celebrate the Emancipation Proclamation signed by a Republican president? Why don't we have a federal holiday on September 22nd to commemorate Abraham Lincoln, which was the true courageous act that actually ended up being the end result? Juneteenth is merely the end of what Abraham Lincoln started on September 22nd. So why that day? Why June 19th? Oh, it's before July 4th. That's why. So that your summer celebration starts with a BLM incorporated, hyper-racialized day off. So what was the movement that actually began in 1776? Did you know by the time of the Constitutional Convention? This is a very interesting fact to share, your friends. You see, the way Juneteenth is now going to be taught because Republicans decided not to fight against this. Did you know that 9 states by the time the Constitution was ratified by 1787 abolished slavery? Do you know that? You know the Northwest Ordinance in Article 6, it says the Northwest Territories will be free territories. That's why the dividing line, the Ohio River, was always the definition of free and slave state. You know the first ever anti-slavery convention was held in 1775 in Philadelphia? Thomas Jefferson's original handwriting in the Declaration of Independence blamed King George for bringing the evil of slavery to the United States. Thomas Jefferson wrote extensively about how slavery is not just bad for slaves, it was bad for slaveholders too. Before Juneteenth, which has now become a federal holiday, as Joe Biden puts it forward, the most patriotic day of the year was July 4th. Now it has a new competitor. And here's how this is going to end. And Republicans have no depth, no sophistication, no understanding of how this works. They're going to say, well, if you support July 4th, you're a white supremacist. That's the white supremacist day. The real day is Juneteenth. You're going to start seeing these African flags all over the country. They're already in Chicago City Hall, by the way, the Pan-African flag. Lord Falkland famously said that if things are not necessary to change, it is necessary not to change them. What does this accomplish or achieve? To have a competitor against the moral, beautiful holiday of the unifying July 4th? Somehow July 4th now needs a competitor? Somehow July 4th, the day that Martin Luther King Jr. said very clearly that the Civil Rights Act is us cashing on the promissory note of the promise made that day? Or how about Frederick Douglass, the former slave himself, that said that the truths of the founding enshrined in the Declaration are eternal truths for no matter what skin color you are, including slaves. Is that something we should forget? So now we get a day off to hear how racist we are. Thank you, Republicans. Some people are saying, well, Charlie, what's wrong with having another national holiday that honors the liberation of slaves? Of course, I'm for that conceptually. Obviously, that's not what this is about. And I could prove it to you. This person, Peniel E. Joseph, whoever this is, writes very clearly that, no, it's not about the freeing of slaves. Really, what this is about racial identity politics. Let me make sure I get the exact. Oh, yeah. Scores of corporations, including the NFL, designated the date paid holiday as the nation scrambled to respond to monumental calls for racial justice. Last year's Juneteenth celebrations drew the nation closer to the promise of multiracial democracy that first dawned in 1865. Wait, we don't have multiracial democratic institutions? So this whole thing is about trying to push us towards what exactly? Just 1 year later, troubling signs of racial backlash abound. No, it doesn't. What are you talking about? It's a complete and total lie. White empathy over the deaths of innocent black Americans at the hands of police, recognition of the 1921 massacre in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and celebrations of Juneteenth have curdled this resentment. First of all, we've been through the Tulsa thing. It's way more complicated than they ever thought to believe. This was a mob gone wrong, and there was a lot of back and forth. Juneteenth commemorates June 19, 1965, the announcement of the end of slavery by a Union major general in Texas. Long celebrated in black communities from coast to coast, it has been a Texas state holiday since 1980 and is a strong Lone Star State tradition. Is that really what they're celebrating? Because he goes on to say here, historically must be contextualized. History offers us a guidepost to understand our present, but it rarely repeats itself, especially on racial matters. Echoes previous instances of patterns of anti-black sentiment. U.S. history holds a chilling warning about restricting votes. Oh, I see what this is all about. Got it. H.R. 1. So then he goes on to this long essay that really Juneteenth is the beginning of racial reconciliation. That's why we have to have Juneteenth, according to this person. The system of punishment that imprisoned black women and men can be replaced with innovative social policies and investments that produce thriving neighborhoods. Well, maybe blacks should get married before they have kids and graduate high school. And as Candace Owens says, they're in jail because they commit more crimes. And it's true. In fact, there's an under-incarceration problem if you look at the actual statistics. The backlash we have witnessed since last year is old as the Republic, and Juneteenth 2021 will be celebrated against this bittersweet backdrop. Yet just because we have been here before does not mean that we must stay. Juneteenth still offers a bedrock foundation to make last year's watershed moment of racial and political reckoning into a process that can last. Can I say that again? They are saying this is why they want Juneteenth. Juneteenth offers a bedrock foundation to make last year's watershed moment of racial and political reckoning into a transformative process that can last. You hear that? Juneteenth is now a federal holiday so that we can transformationally change America. That's what they're saying. When they tell you who they are, believe them. We know how they operate. They try to get entire months dedicated to the drag queen story hour agenda, which is what we have right now, the whole month of June. And Juneteenth is not about liberty or liberation in their eyes. In the ideal, of course it is. That's not what this is about. If it was, we would actually celebrate Emancipation Proclamation. We know that they try to sneak something in and then pervert it and use it to their own political impulse. That's exactly what they're doing with it right here. And now we are going to have a federal competitor. That's right, against July 4th. And there will be essays and movements saying that July 4th is nothing more than a celebration of the white supremacist colonialist tradition that existed. The true Independence Day is a Pan-African Independence Day. Don't believe me? Just type into your Google Images Juneteenth. Every single image is an African flag. Not an American flag. Not one. In fact, the 54th image is an American flag. It's a Pan-African flag. Symbols matter. Tradition and history matters. Our nation was founded in a culmination in 1776 of decades of courageous Protestant ministers that dared talk about the truth that you're made in the image of God. 9 states by the Constitutional Convention had abolished slavery well before Juneteenth. Abraham Lincoln recognized the true founding of our country, July 4th, 1776. But now, in this new postmodern woke agenda, it's not enough to say that all men are created equal. No. Now you must have a racial Independence Day, a Black Independence Day. Do you think that's actually going to heal the country and harmonize us? Or do you think maybe they might be using this to further sow division? I'll let you decide. Now, some people say, Charlie, how could you possibly be against emancipation? You see, that's a really sloppy argument. You think that I oppose it being a federal holiday because I'm some sort of like anti-emancipationist or like an anti-abolitionist? Of course not. I'm against it for a lot of different reasons. I'm happy to detail it. Number one, I think the wise, clairvoyant, and correct observation that Abraham Lincoln made that our founding was in 1776, he said that at the Gettysburg Address. That's a big deal. And celebrating the ideal of July 4th has always been us continued to be an aspirational nation, a nation that always wants to better our conduct, better our laws in the framework of the moonshot that all men are created equal. And it says it very clearly in the Declaration that we hold these truths to be self-evident. Now, what's the meaning of that? We hold these truths to be self-evident. That means that a king does not have to tell us this. Every human being has the agency and the ability to recognize that you have a right to your life, your consciousness, to be able to assume property and liberty, which means the pursuit of virtue. That all men are created equal. That they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Straight out of John Locke. That to secure these rights, which means to protect them, governments are instituted among men, meaning that governments do not pre-exist men. So you see what Thomas Jefferson is doing here is he is making a more practical argument of John Locke's natural rights social compact doctrine. That government did not come before man. Men create government. It is out of our natural state that we voluntarily, through the consent of the governed, create this system. that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute a new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, another word for practical judgment or wisdom, indeed will dictate that governments long established shall not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer, while evils are sufferable, than to the right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. And so what is the philosophical reason that BLM Incorporated and Patrice Cullors and Ibram X. Kendi, why are they so excited to have Juneteenth? Why do they want this so badly? Why are they lobbying for it? Well, for a very simple reason. For the rest of your life, June 19th will now be a day around racial identity politics. BLM Incorporated now has a federal holiday. You see, under the disguise that it's all about emancipation, which it isn't, they are now going to use this as a gateway to teach you false history and to pause the nation, to have all the cars stop in the streets and say, now we need to talk about our racial past. Well, yeah, let's talk about our racial past. Happy to talk about how we were the first nation to abolish the importation of slaves in 1807. In fact, we were so bold about it, we put it in the United States Constitution. Let's talk about that. If we want to celebrate a holiday, why don't we celebrate March of 1807? Find the date, Connor. March of 1807. We want to celebrate a holiday. Why don't we celebrate the first nation to ever bar the importation of slaves? If we want to celebrate a holiday, why don't we celebrate the day that Vermont abolished slavery? That was a big deal. If we want to celebrate a holiday, why don't we celebrate the 9 states that abolished slavery ahead of the Constitutional Convention? You see, on its surface, March 2nd, 1807, that's a big deal. Why don't we make March 2nd, 1807 a federal holiday? And quite honestly, Juneteenth is a day of when the news reached Texas and kind of a big party broke out. I'm all for that. I'm for celebrating emancipation. God bless that. Seriously, it's a moral good. But that's not what this is about. We know that. And if I have to over-explain this to you, then you don't know the left. You don't know these people. Now they have the Black National Anthem. They're going to have a Black Independence Day. And I think the best argument for this is a preemptive kind of cutting in line against July 4th. You see, July 4th was always, by definition, a colorless holiday. The only colors that mattered on July 4th were red, white, and blue. It didn't matter if you were Black or if you were Asian or Hispanic. Play cut 70.
We must also recognize that freedom has been illusory for far too many American residents, including Black people. So we must embrace all American history. And today, on Juneteenth, we will be raising another flag, the Juneteenth flag.
You hear that? So they're going to be not raising the American flag, the Juneteenth flag. If you've ever seen the Pan-African flag, it is a green, black, and red flag. Do you think that actually helps heal our divides? Do you think that having a new national federal holiday competing with the colorless holiday of July 4th being racially driven, you heard it from Lori Lightfoot's own mouth. We need Juneteenth because the system has been so terrible to Black people and therefore systemic racism. And there is no systemic racism in America. I said this to a reporter recently and the silence on the phone was deafening. She was like, well, what do you mean? I said, there's no systemic racism. The only systemic injustice that exists in America is the fact that certain communities are deciding not to get married and we've subsidized that. We have withdrawn the police from certain communities, so certain communities are able to kill themselves, and with it, many children are caught in the crossfire, and we are suffering under the pain of government-run schools. Nothing to a skin color. In fact, if you think it has something to do with skin color, then all of a sudden, maybe you are the racist. One of my friends from Chicago just messaged me. He said, Juneteenth is a globalist Marxist holiday. It's well said. It's all of a sudden going to open up this conversation, which is, well, if we're all caring about racial identity politics and we give BLM Incorporated their own day, which is what we've done, this might as well be called Patrice Cullors Day. In fact, why don't we call it the Nicole Hannah Jones Day? And it's under the excuse of, oh, we're celebrating emancipation. No one's actually talking about that. You realize that, right? Did Lori Lightfoot just talk about that? Did any of these people in their long essays write about this? And in the next segment, I'm going to go through the naivete is the best way I could put it of a person who calls herself a conservative. She's a nice person. I've met her. She's pleasant. K. Cole James. She runs the Heritage Foundation. And she says, Juneteenth is the perfect answer to critical race theory. Oh, really? The perfect answer to critical race theory is let's create a new federal holiday 2.5 weeks before July 4th that basically admits we're a racist country. Really? And so she says this. While some use Juneteenth to push their hate America agenda, the conservative leader pointed out Juneteenth is a day for recognizing the greatness of America. That, though flawed, America was built on humanity's highest ideals and endowed with a constitutional framework that allowed it to right its wrongs throughout history. Yes, we have a date for that. It's called July 4th. That is the day that is the pinnacle of the celebration of our nation. Now, I just have a really honest question. Has there ever been anything wrong with July 4th? It's my favorite day of the year. I love it. It's one of the few days that everyone seems so excited to be part of a big national family. The people are dressing up like Thomas Jefferson. We have readings of the Declaration of Independence. Now we have to just go hear about how terribly racist we are? K. Cole James says, I do believe that there is some contradiction going on in the hearts of many Americans right now in regards to those who celebrate Juneteenth while also promoting the ideas like critical race theory and the 1619 Project. Wait, so she admits that Juneteenth is being used by the critical race theorists? That's the whole point. Critical race theory has now been given a federal holiday. It does not matter what actually happened on that day. They have hijacked it. They have owned it like they have done with all other great things. You know what it's like saying? It's like saying, yeah, Yale is great because it was founded as a Christian college. Yeah, 200 years ago. Now Yale is the most secular, humanist, anti-Christian college. The same thing with Juneteenth. It was a great day. And now it's going to be used to teach your children to hate themselves and hate their country. Flag Day was just a couple days ago. That is not a federal holiday. But all of a sudden now you're going to start seeing these Pan-African flags flying all over the country. Why is that something that should bother us? Not for racial reasons, obviously. But should there be a flag that should have more emphasis than the American flag? We already did that with the LGBT thing, and we went after that whole thing. I can't believe that one kind of passed by the radar screen of Media Matters. They must have took a day off. However, the symbols of the American flag are really important. But now, because we have a new federal holiday, a new Independence Day before July 4th, that if you don't celebrate, by the way, they're going to keep a list. If you don't send out a tweet on Juneteenth, you're a bad person. If you don't celebrate, you're not going to get a contract. If you don't celebrate, you're going to get fired from a job. So what is the American flag? The stripes represent the original 13 colonies. And the stars obviously represent the 50 states of the Union. The colors of the flag are very symbolic as well. Red symbolizes hardiness and valor. White symbolizes purity and innocence. And the blue represents vigilance, perseverance, and justice. Did you hear that? Did you know that the blue in the red, white, and blue symbolizes justice? So why do we need another Pan-African flag? I don't know what the Pan-African flag stands for. All I know is that it's not in the central canon of American symbols. And symbols matter, history matters, tradition matters, culture matters. You know why? When I wear this flag, this American flag, I have an unspoken connection to my ancestors that helped build this country. To the first Kirks that came to America in 1620, Alphonsus Kirk was his name, actually. And by the way, this doesn't make me a good person. It doesn't make you a better person if you're connected to someone who did something good or something bad. But it does make me proud. Alphonsus Kirk came in 1620, and in every single war we can trace through our bloodline, someone fought for this nation. From Abner Abbey, who fought in the Revolutionary War. Son or daughter of the American Revolution is something that my family is part of. To the American Civil War, to the War of 1812, to World War I, to my grandfather in World War II. It was this ideal that they were fighting for. They were fighting for the ideal that is enshrined in the United States Constitution. They swore over this. And July 4th, if you look at the list of federal holidays, kind of stands on its own in the summer calendar for good reason. You see, July 4th is bookended by Memorial Day. We remember those who died for our nation. And then on the other side, it's Labor Day, where it's, there's a lot of history behind Labor Day. Weather's nice, whatever. I guess we honor the history of Labor Day is a lot more mixed. Not going to get into that. That's for a different time. But in the entire summer calendar where people take a lot of time off, why is it that all of a sudden on July 4th, there is a unique pattern of behavior? Why do we do parades? You ever think about that? What's so special about parades? Well, parades, back before social media, is when the soldiers would either go to war or celebrate a victory of a war. That was a parade. They would parade before they'd go out to war, and if they won, they would parade again. So in a couple weeks when you're July 4th, remember that. Why do we do fireworks? Well, they're fun. They kind of play into the pyrotechnic nature of so many folks across the country. But also, every time you hear those fireworks go off, you're supposed to remember what Francis Scott Key wrote so eloquently from the Battle of the War of 1812. You're supposed to remember the cannon fire. You're supposed to remember the sacrifice. You're supposed to remember on those beautiful July 4th evenings where everything just kind of stands still, that you're celebrating your nation and you're celebrating the unity and the liberty that allows you to have that, granted by God, the rocket's red glare and the bombs bursting in midair. So what is the symbol of Juneteenth? It's an African flag. What does that mean? Can someone explain to me how that plays into our ideas of the American Trinity, the American Trinity of In God We Trust and E Pluribus Unum and Liberty? That's what July 4th is all about, because that's what happened on July 4th, 1776. How many of you guys have planned to do something and it was an idea and it prevented you from becoming a reality all the time? The founders had this idea of an official divorce document with King George for quite some time. This was an official separation document. You know what they did? They did something that no people have ever done before. They organized and they submitted in a formal legal brief. They said, we want to govern ourselves. We want to separate from you, and we're willing to do whatever it takes. And the declaration ends with those amazing words. And with it, we pledge our lives, our fortune, and our sacred honor. You want an example of a federal holiday that's been taken advantage of? How about Columbus Day, which is no longer called Columbus Day. Now it's called Indigenous Peoples Day. Columbus Day was always a day where we celebrated the discovery of the New World and the entry of Westerners into the North American continent. Christopher Columbus was a mixed figure, but generally, he was an absolutely brilliant person. When you look at someone who took on the task of trying to come into the New World and bring common law and try to then finally open up trade and commerce. Well, Christopher Columbus Day is now over. We now have Indigenous Peoples Day. One small example of how federal holidays can be changed. And so as we get into this, and I want to play some tape here of Tucker, because Tucker says very something similar, is that we now have a new Independence Day. Forget James Madison, forget Thomas Jefferson, forget the founding fathers and what they might do. Instead, we now need to have an overemphasis on race, because I don't know about you, I don't think we're talking about race enough in our country. Everything is racist. Play tape.
Starting this Saturday, our country is getting a new Independence Day to supplant the old one, which people like Lori Lightfoot complained was racist. Not a single member of either party in the Senate opposed it. Republicans, in fact, co-sponsored the resolution. Happy that my bill to recognize Juneteenth as a national holiday just passed the Senate, wrote John Cornyn, a supposedly conservative senator from Texas.
So why does it matter that certain things should not change? Well, we know the motivations of the other side, especially when you see how happy they are that certain things are being pushed, especially when you see how aggressive they are putting things forward. I think that it should just have a timeout that certain movements of mass progress are actually going to be used to try and push forward transformational social change. And that kind of transformational social change is very bad. In fact, it's harmful for the type of order that might pre-exist it. You see, when you go to change something, you must have a very good reason. So what is the very good reason that people are using that we need to have
Juneteenth. What is the reason that is being put forward? Well, the reason is that we're a racist country and that we need to have a hyper emphasis on race. That is the reason that they are giving. You don't believe me? Go read the literature of the people that are putting this forward. It has nothing to do with emancipation. Again, if it was about that, it would be about the great leap forward that Abraham Lincoln did with the Emancipation Proclamation on September 22nd, 1862 or 1863. I think it's 1863. Is that right? There's a multitude of dates that could better reflect it. Now, Juneteenth was a particular type of tradition that was passed down in the state of Texas. But actually, no one's talking about emancipation. Instead, they're talking about how this is the opening of a massive reckoning for racial progress and racial justice. That Juneteenth now basically institutionalizes critical race theory, everything we saw from George Floyd to Ahmaud Arbery to Breonna Taylor, now it's enshrined in a federal holiday. And in this article that is written in defense of it, it says, quote, Juneteenth, in both its historical origins and contemporary resurgence, brings us closer to some uncomfortable truths about American identity. You hear that? This is not a celebration. This is a reckoning. I'm going to say that again. Juneteenth brings us closer to some uncomfortable truths about American identity. So what is the goal of this exactly? Is the goal to bring us closer to some form of hatred? Do you think that we're at a level where we're not hating ourselves enough? We are, I think, I thought we hit a penultimate level of self-loathing, but according to the other side, I think we're just beginning. Listen to AOC. AOC is very clear about what Juneteenth is all about. And by the way, I just want to say this. This is a minority opinion right now in conservative circles. People are telling me I'm getting lots of tweets and everything. I deleted Twitter, so I think clearly, and I know that we're right here. I know that my children in 10 years from now are going to have to be forced to take a knee. And I'm going to be getting all these emails from WeWork to Uber Eats to Starbucks or whatever newsletters that I'm on saying, today is Juneteenth. We recognize that racial progress is always, it's never quite in our grasp. And that's why we need this bill and this bill and that bill and this bill and this bill and that bill. What does AOC say Juneteenth is about? What is the radical left say? Are they saying it's about emancipation? Are they actually saying that it's about a fulfillment of Abraham Lincoln's legacy? Of course not. Play tape.
This is pretty consistent with, I think, the Republican base, and it's whether it's trying to fight against teaching basic history around racism and the role of racism in U.S. history to, you know, there's a direct through line from that to denying Juneteenth.
Right. So we're denying Juneteenth. Okay, AOC, I could go through about 30 days that are not currently federal holidays that I think are days that are worthy of remembering. That is not the point. Did you know Constitution Day is not a federal holiday? That's sort of somewhat of an important thing. Maybe like a minor detail of why we're here. The ratification of the Bill of Rights was not a federal holiday. The Emancipation Proclamation was not a federal holiday. Hey, what was the end of the Civil War, by the way? Like how about the signing of the treaty at Appomattox Courthouse? From what I understand, Juneteenth is just when the news hit Galveston, Texas. Am I right? That was when the news hit. It's somewhat, this is going to be totally misquoted. It could have been June 20th or June 21st. It's just when the news hit. And they had a celebration and they decided that was the day they wanted to celebrate it. Fine. Is that April 9th, 1865? Why is that not a federal holiday? April 9th, 1865. Here, and the left knows that, this again, they're so deceptive. We know that. They're so treacherous. And again, if you still give these people the benefit of good intentions, I hope the Neville Chamberlain Sue for Peace strategy works well in your life. These very same people that are the people that spied on President Trump, the very same people that teach your children critical race theory, we're just supposed to, oh, yeah, the Democrats, they want Juneteenth because you know why? They actually want to teach American history. Of course not. They want a competitor and eventually a superior summer federal holiday that diminishes and debases the symbols and the history of what July 4th actually is. And none of them are actually talking about the history of that. You would think that Constitution Day would be important. No, of course, the day that we won the Civil War, April 19th, 1865, the surrender of the Army of Northern Virginia in McLean House in the village of Appomattox Courthouse, that's not a federal holiday. Wouldn't that be somewhat more significant than Juneteenth? Juneteenth is, at its most basic reading, I read it, okay, no necessary moral problem with it. But in practice, which is what we are, right? We are practical beings, get out of the clouds and into the weeds. What are we actually looking at here? We're looking at BLM Incorporated's national holiday. We're looking at a direct competitor of July 4th and a black day of independence. And here's a thought crime. Slavery was not always about race in America. Don't believe me? Read Thomas Sowell's essay about that. It wasn't. Slavery was not always about race. There were whites that came as slaves. There were indentured servants that came as slaves. Here's another thought crime. Slavery is usually not about race across the world. Slavery was not always about racial domination. And again, for all of the Media Matters wonderful people that are watching, I refer you to Discrimination and Disparities, Chapter 5 by Thomas Sowell, and you can go call him a racist. I'm merely just referencing what he has to say. So what we're looking at here, and this would commonly be called as a sneak attack or a Trojan horse. If you look at the left and what they've been trying to do, it's very simple. They're trying to crowd out the unity, the beauty, and the celebratory undertones of July 4th, where everyone pulls up a flag and there's a moment, almost a detente of politics. By its very definition and how they're expressing this, they want this to be political. Again, I'm going to reinforce this. Juneteenth still offers a bedrock foundation to make last year's watershed moment of racial and political reckoning into a transformative process that can last. What exactly about 2020 are they proud of? What about 2020 are the BLM Incorporated people proud of? What racial reckoning actually happened last year? 77% of black kids are still born without a father in the home. How about the racial reckoning in Chicago? How'd that work in Chicago last year? 719 people shot and killed in Chicago last year. 3,455 shot and wounded. Is that the racial reckoning they're talking about? How about the thousands of storefronts that were looted and burned? Is that the racial reckoning that they want? Oh, I know which one. How about the one that says looting is reparations? Is that the racial reckoning they want? Cut 75.
Care if somebody decides to loot a Gucci or a Macy's or a Nike, because that makes sure that that person eats. That makes sure that that person has clothes. That's reparations. That is reparations. Anything they want to take, take it, because these businesses have insurance. They're going to get their money back. My people aren't getting anything.
Oh, if you have insurance, then robbing is okay. So therefore, the FDIC allows you to go hold up a bank. That's her argument. Is that the racial reckoning that we're supposed to support? How about the burning of Kenosha in Chicago, Philadelphia? How about David Dorn being shot, police officer? Is that the racial reckoning that we should support? How about the dozens of police officers that were killed in cold blood? Is that the racial reckoning that we want? So according to this argument of the top intelligentsia, Pennell E. Joseph, whoever this person is, they're saying that 2020 was a great year and Juneteenth is going to make it permanent. That's their argument. Their argument is not about, hey, look how far we've come. Get your life in order and get your act together. No, it's the opposite. They're now going to use this as a Pan-African Black Nationalist Independence Day to try to directly criticize. You now have a competitor. What happens when you have a competitor? Well, then you have a winner. Let's just play this out for anyone that is still not yet convinced. 10 years from now, do you think July 4th or June 19th is going to be more important in the focus and the psyche of American corporations, movies, documentaries, celebrities, and social media influencers? If you want to de-emphasize and eventually almost put in the back burner July 4th, similar to how Columbus Day is, where we kind of really don't take it very seriously, this is how you do it. You overshadow it. You go full court press. You flood the zone, and that's their strategy. They don't want you to talk about James Madison or Thomas Jefferson or George Washington. Instead, they want you to talk about Patrice Cullors, Ibram X. Kendi, How to Be an Anti-Racist, and Angela Davis. That is the agenda behind all of this. It's so clear. People would call it a wolf in sheep's clothing or a Trojan horse, but that would mean that they're hiding something. They're saying the private part out loud. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? Quite a lot. Truth is, I know millions of people, in fact, that over 100 million people that are struggling with some kind of pain, whether it knee pain, back pain, joint pain, and exercise or getting older or whatever it might be. I'm so impressed with the team at Relief Factor. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of commitment. So go to relieffactor.com. That's relieffactor.com or call 800-500-8384. About a dollar a day to see if you can get out of pain. And then after that, less than a cost of a cup of coffee a day. Relief Factor is terrific. It's 100% drug-free. Go to relieffactor.com. That's relieffactor.com. There's a couple. I want to do some quick-hitting stories, one after the other after the other. Donald Trump came out on Sean Hannity and said children should not be getting the vaccine. Hold on. Time out here. Almost as if this program here, the Charlie Kirk Show, engaging in thought crimes, were getting some air support from the former president. Play tape.
Now we have to get back and the schools have to get open. And frankly, we're lucky we have the vaccine, but the vaccine on very young people is something that you got to really stop. You know, they're just not affected or affected badly. Having to receive a vaccine, I think, is something that you should start thinking about because I think it's unnecessary.
Unnecessary. That is Donald Trump saying that we shouldn't maybe be engaging in a mass inoculation strategy with our nation's young people. Of course, the activist media is going to come out full court press against Donald Trump and say very clearly that how dare you diminish science? Well, Donald Trump's looking at what we're looking at. He's looking at young people, some of them having some adverse reactions to this that are very, very serious. President Trump last night also said, in regards to the meeting with Joe Biden in Russia, frankly, it was a good day for Russia. We didn't get anything out of the meeting. Cut 68.
Well, I guess the overall is we didn't get anything. We gave a very big stage to Russia, and we got nothing. We gave up something that was unbelievably valuable. I stopped the pipeline, Nord Stream, and that pipeline was stopped, and it was given back, and nothing was gotten for it.
Nothing was gotten for that. And we have a whole podcast episode that I encourage you guys to check out where we talked at length about Joe Biden and Vladimir Putin's meeting. And I want to end this hour with a story that America should become a nation of renters, said no one who actually cares about America ever. Carl W. Smith, who is a Bloomberg opinion columnist, formerly the vice president of the Federal Policy of Tax Foundation, so he probably is funded by a bunch of corporations, saying that we need to now rent, not own. Now, we went into great detail last week about the moral argument for ownership. When you own something, you're more likely to want to preserve it. You're more likely to want to contest for the well-being of the community and the place around you. But he says right here in this article that renting should become the new norm. He said that liquid assets like publicly traded stocks and corporate bonds earn what's known as a liquidity premium. Their market price is many times the dividend or coupon that investors get from holding them. The more liquid an asset, the higher the premium goes. On the flip side, those same high-flying stocks and bonds can see their prices collapse when investors get spooked and withdraw their cash from the market. He says these factors make houses a good investment for moderate-income families who often lack the cash and risk tolerance for market investments. As investment went, single-family homes went cheaply and solar glue grew into times good and bad. He goes on to say that this was a failed experiment. You see, all of that equity you have in your home, the fact you own your house, that's a failed experiment. He continues by saying, a nation of renters could lead to a world where location decisions are driven far more by personal preferences and life cycle demands. Younger workers might prefer the excitement of the city. A couple just starting a family could reunite with their parents or siblings in a small town. You hear that? We need a more transient America. We need more people living in urban America and less people living out in the farm or living out in the suburbs. Of course. What's the consequence of that? When you rent, not own, then you don't really care as much about property values. Well, property values go down with crime, so you care less with crime. You don't care much about property taxes. Renters are less engaged to be involved in the community and the welfare of the place around them. Owning something is a conservative value. When you own something, then all of a sudden, a higher sense of awareness and care for everything around you kicks in. When you're renting, it's the tragedy of the commons. Why should I be concerned for this if it's not actually my stake in that fight? Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com. And if you want to support our program, go to charliekirk.com/support. God bless you guys. Speak to you soon.